What's good, everybody? This is Silas from silasbeats.com, and today's update, I am doing from the studio. Actually, I haven't been here in a while. I won't lie. I've been neglecting this place, but it's just because I haven't needed to be here for a minute. All of my Fiverr videos have been shot at various locations. I've been doing a lot of voiceover work, which I can happily do at home, which is a blessing. But as funny, as my daughter gets older, her vocal cords are getting stronger. She's becoming louder. So right now I'll work on music while she's awake. And then the moment she goes to bed, when I don't hear her for a while, I'll go check. I'll see the doors closed. I'm like, perfect. I'll check the baby monitor. And then from there, I am doing all my voiceovers. At some point, I'm not going to be able to do that. Well, maybe I will. Maybe she goes to crèche. But anyway, the idea is that, yeah, I wanted to be in studio today because I wanted to shoot some videos. I've just finished shooting 4 videos. The rain was being a hater. But yeah, what can we do? Whenever I come to studio, it's usually power. Power's usually out. This time, power was perfect. But unfortunately, I have a zinc roof, meaning that when it rains, if you're in the booth, like I'm in the booth right now, I don't know if you can hear it, but when I'm standing outside where the computer is, it's very, very difficult to hear yourself talk, and I generally speak quite softly, so I can't even hear myself recording myself. So like that, let alone trying to take that, record it, and then pop it into a DAW and clean it up. So I had to wait a while before I was able to record. But anyway, nonetheless, I got it done. I'm happy about that. Now I have a video that I need to go and work on. I got a haircut today. I know this is all so silly. Like, to think that I'm going to go make a video now, and, well, not today, it's raining. And I actually need, it's going to be an outdoor shoot. It's going to be my first Fiverr video where I shoot outdoors. The video is usually just me in the studio, and I'm busy saying something. I've, you know, set up an area of the studio, and I'm, like, narrating something. I've got a script of some kind that I'm reading from the teleprompter. But this is going to be a full-on, we are outside. The place is supposed to look like a construction site, or at least look like there is construction going on. I'm off to the hardware store right now to go and buy myself a hard hat. Can you imagine a hard hat and a reflector jacket so that I can sort of create an outfit for myself? I have the script. I've already worked together with a person with the script. We've got the gig going. I have 5 days to complete it. Well, this is day one that I'm busy getting stuff done on now. So haircut is done. I'm looking decent. I've got my outfit ready. I'm going to try shoot tomorrow if the sun's out. If not, I'm in trouble. But what's weird is for the past like week, there's been no rain during the day, almost none. Well, in the parts of Joburg where I am. So this is quite silly that on the right when I need it to be sunny, it's like this. Anyway, the shooting's going to take about 20 minutes, I know. But I know the issue is all of this setup, buying all of the stuff, getting into talks with the person, settling on a price, setting up the gig, you know, planning everything out, the haircut, setting up the set when I get to set, getting bricks and stuff. I'm sure there'll be bricks and stuff that I can use, planks and pieces of wood, other tools, and just put them around the place to make it look like it's a bit of a construction site. And then from there, the next step is to then shoot. And I know once I set up that teleprompter, shooting is going to be quick. I've already read through the script. It is very short. It shouldn't take me longer than 20 minutes. What was also a little crazy was that the person that I was talking to get this work ready, we were haggling back and forth last night about pricing. And this is something big when it comes to being a freelancer and just setting up your prices. It can be a nightmare talking to some people. And I've learned to like stand my ground, because usually what would happen is if a job is supposed to be $100, let's just call it $100, and someone came to me and they're like $50, instantly I know I can't say $100 again, because I know the art of bargaining and negotiation. I have to somehow meet them halfway, or at least a little bit of the way, so that we can get the deal over the line, because that was my primary focus, right? Getting the deal over the line. Then I started to realize that some people will push buttons just because they want to push buttons. And that's when I started saying to myself, there's no need for me to always say, cool, let's get into this game of negotiation. As much as I am African and I love a good negotiation, there's times when I just don't want to negotiate. Like, especially when I feel like I'm already undercharging you, I already feel like the price that I'm giving you is really, really good. So this person gave me a price that was, I think it was less than One, two. It was about a third. It was about a third of what I had asked for. So I proposed my first price. They slashed it. And they gave me a counter proposal of 33%. It was a little bit more than that. I'd say maybe 35 to 40. No, it's about 35%. I was unhappy with that. And I was like, look, this doesn't make sense. I'm going to be making the video and not making any money off of it. Therefore, the work doesn't really, like, I don't need reviews. I don't need all this nice stuff that you say that you might be able to get me. I don't need reviews. Right now, I'm looking for a profit on my work. And if I work for 150, that doesn't happen. They understood that one very, very quickly. It's just an art of negotiation. If they drop the price too low, then the first thing you say to them is, I don't make any money here. And I learned this from an artist. There was a person who was selling a painting. And yeah, I really wanted it for the house. And the person said that I gave them a number and I really lowballed them. I must have given them, must have offered like 20% of their asking price. But I was informed that they already hyped their price up by like 300, 400, sometimes 500%. So me pulling it down a little bit doesn't kill them. That was my mindset, and that's just how I am. Sometimes I do get a little bit hard line with people when I'm negotiating. Anyway, we negotiated and we sort of got to the end of it. And I held firm. I was like, look, I don't make any money. They gave me a counter proposal. I think that was about 60% of my price. And I was about to drop my price and say, I want 80% of what I initially wanted. And then I decided against it. I was actually like, look, if a person is happy to haggle this much, then the job is going to be a crappy job in terms of my experience as the person selling the service. And I've had that before. It's funny, everybody who haggles me down, who haggles my price down, just ends up being problematic in some shape or form, whether it's by their own doing or whether it's by my perception of their behavior. Now I'm scrutinizing every move that they make, and I'm like, it's this person, the one who wanted the discount, and then they're not even that good, or they're not being punctual, or they're saying funny things, and I think that they're a little bit offish to me. You know, it happens, and it happens to me. It's a fault of mine. It's not the other person. They've asked for a discount. I've given it. I should still be giving them the best service that I can, but it's tough. So I was just like, look, fam, if you're not going to give me 100% of what I'm asking for, I can't help you out. Unfortunately, like, we can drop your price. We can drop the price, but let's look at, scaling the project down. Let's remove some words from the script. Let's, you know, do this, do that to make the job smaller so that you can pay less. They weren't having it. And I suspect the reason they weren't having it is because of the way that I lined the project up for them. It came to me with no information except for all they wanted was just to get the name of their business out there. And they wanted a video that showcased that. I took that instruction and I turned it into a gig. And I said, this is what I can do for you. I will stand and I will present this information. I need you to help me write a script about your services. I'll present the information, then I will show the information, and then I'll do a little outro at the end, and then I'll have your contact details. Your logo will be there. I will be in character. I will use B-roll. There will be music. There will be transitions. There will be text overlay. There will be all of these lovely things, and I will complete your project. And I think that sounded like music to their ears, and that I had taken their idea and I had formed this entire thing around it, which, they were like, hey, you know, maybe we should just pay the full price. And that's what they ended up doing. I was quite happy about that. I will see how the project goes in terms of the recording, putting it together. They did ask me to finish it in half the time that I had proposed for them. I proposed 10 days. The reason I asked for 10 days is so that day one, I can conceptualize. Day two, I'm getting my hair cut, getting my stuff sorted, getting my equipment. Day three is usually when I do my shooting. And then either day three or day four, I'll then start with the editing process. Day five, day six, that's when I'm finishing off any sort of editing that I need to get done so that I have extra time. Mind you, this is only day six and it's a 10-day project. I give myself extra time just in case things go wrong. Like today, there's rain. I wasn't going to shoot today, but if I was, then there would have been rain and I would have had to just cancel the whole thing. And who knows how long such things can happen. Tomorrow can be some other emergency and that slows me down. So it's just important to just give yourself a bit of a buffer. That really does just assist things. But I got a question from someone who was asking whether the, you know, Fiverr, that platform, because they had heard about it and they were like, yeah, I'm a developer. I'm like, bro, get on that platform, because you can offer a service the way that you want it. You can offer it and you can get like good reviews for your work. You're improving because you're working on projects you'll never work on anywhere else. I can imagine you're working for a company in a little room somewhere in South Africa. It would be very, very different for you to freelancing for yourself with clients who are outside of South Africa, outside of the African continent, speaking different languages. There's different customs. There's different ways of presenting information. You learn more about yourself, but you also get a chance to travel the world without traveling the world. Being around people and speaking to people who have different beliefs to you, who wake up at different times to you, it gives you a bigger appreciation for the world that you live in. You may feel, I don't know, this is a bit of a subjective one, but I feel as though I have more of an impact by working on these global videos that I'm working on. I've had a few people contact me and say, yo, I saw you on this thing, or I heard you on this thing. And I'm like, wow, that means that this was a pretty big project. And vice versa, there's projects where I'm like, this is a big project, and then nothing comes of it. There was this one guy who needed a voiceover done for a video which was supposed to be part of a viral tweet campaign, and I didn't see the tweet. It didn't make any sort of news. It didn't do anything. Mind you, it was a sort of a hit or miss thing, but yeah. So I'll just go as far as to say is give it a shot if you are thinking about doing any sort of freelancing. The beginning is painful. I've spoken to a few people who have started working on these freelancing platforms and they haven't had a great time. But like I keep telling them, just keep offering your service, keep improving your pages, just keep keeping at it. Then eventually someone's going to see what you're doing, and all you need is 2-3 jobs. Knock them out the park, get some good reviews under your belt, keep your prices nice and low. You don't have to overquote or overcharge for things. You will get to that stage where you're able to throw down a $300, $400, $500 for a job and say, you know, pay me because I'm worth it. But right now on the platform, if you're starting from scratch, understand that just because you worked on other big projects outside, unless they are major companies, you are probably not going to get that work. Just by saying that I worked with, I don't know, think of a South African company. You worked with, why can't I think of one? Man, like you worked on a Nestle campaign. Yeah, I suppose some people might know what it is that you're talking about, but by all means, people want to see your credentials. And your credentials aren't necessarily the people that you've worked with, but it's the reviews that you have on the platform. That's the difference with the platform. I had to understand that with mixing and mastering, that just because I said that I'd worked with some of the best artists in South Africa, in fact, the best hip-hop acts in SA, it didn't mean anything to a guy in Italy. That was the first job I got, I remember. He came to me and he was like, okay, cool. Like, let's hear your stuff. And then he picked me for a job and we started working on it and we just carried on going back and forth. And there's no priors. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. We were just working on music and trying to get the best possible outcome for it. And I appreciate that. I actually like that a little bit better than all of what happens in the South African music industry, especially in the hip hop industry, where it's very clicky. And if you're not in the inner circle, you're pretty much stuffed. And it's a hassle. It's a hustle to get yourself some good high paying work. Fiverr, Upwork, and there's a bunch of other places you can go. If you're a voiceover artist, there's voices.com. There's a bunch of other places you can go. They sound better if you're an artist or you're a vocalist, you're a rapper, you're a music producer, you can go there. You're a sound engineer, you can go to soundbetter.com, and there's work for you there too. So look around, have a look, consider your options, but definitely consider setting up a profile. If anything, set up a profile and try and fill it out as much as you can. Dedicate some time out. It will take some time. It is a little bit tough. It is a bit tricky, but you can always reach out to someone like me, or you can enter a freelancing forum and you can talk about this type of stuff. You can ask your questions. And all these websites also have help menus. So I know Fiverr has a whole help forum where you can type in what it is that you are having an issue with, and then from there you can get the assistance that you need. So there is no excuse to not get on these platforms if that's what you want to do. So that's my update for today. Hopefully I'll be doing more of these from the studio. I want to try and just be in attendance here more than I have been, than I was last year, actually. Maybe I'll be able to keep this place open. But that's a conversation for another day. Peace.